Let me tell you a little story about a dude I know. His name is Bruce Allen, he used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. Thank you, Arnie Sallon, for that Father's Day gift of a rap song. I still get such a kick out of it. Welcome back. It is time for Therapy Talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who's a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents. And she and her husband will be guesting a very special show on my show in the future, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. Are you?
No, I'm feeling pretty calm today.
All right. But I know you've got some lists and I'm mad because I want hours to hear them and listen to them. So you better talk fast.
No, apparently I think I crammed too much in today. Well, I want to start off. When I get a call from a parent in my private practice that their little one has anger issues or a behavior problem and it's causing strife at home, and they want to set up an appointment for the child to come in and see me, I always start out meeting with the parents, not the child. And some parents get that, and some say, why if my child has the problem would meeting with me be the solution? And I explain to them that we need to look at how you as mom and dad are responding to your child's behavior, because responding in different ways can help the child grow, which is very different than if my child stops doing X, then I can stop yelling.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, the work that I do with my clients and what I'd love to share with you on the show today is really how to help parents manage their triggers when they're angry.
Please, go
ahead. When we're triggered in anger, we're actually inside a younger, wounded part of ourselves in that moment. Something happened a long time ago that just hasn't healed yet, and it's just like if I were to compare it to having a physical wound on my body that hasn't healed. Let's just say it's on my arm. Whenever anything brushes up against that wound, I'm going to flinch and instinctively protect that arm. I may even develop ways to move about the world so that things don't come in contact with that part of my arm. We have the same thing with our emotional wounds, and we move about the world protecting and defending those emotional wounds like we did with our arm. We even choose friends and romantic partners that don't irritate our wounds. But the thing happens is that we have children, and then suddenly it's like your arm is getting brushed up against all the time. And all those protective things that you've done in the past for some reason just aren't working at all now in this new situation. So my first list is 7 things that we tend to do to protect our emotional wounds that don't work at all with children.
All right.
And if you find yourself on this list, congratulations, you're human.
Well, I know, of course, I none of them will apply to me,
but
go
always ahead. The exception to every rule.
Thank
but here
you,
we go.
Thank you.
First of all, controlling. Anytime we try to control our children, we are protecting an old wound in ourselves. Making your child stop their tantrum, make them stop whatever they're doing, controlling is protection. Number 2.
Wait. Just so you know, I have one of my favorite quotes of mine of all time is about control. And I say, and I think you've heard it, the only thing I control is what I eat for breakfast.
I've seen you write that, yes.
Okay, number 2.
Number 2, counterattacking. So when you throw your rage back at your child with insults or basically having a tantrum of your own, you're counterattacking.
Oh, and that's always works. It really works.
It's really helpful.
Yeah. Okay,
number 3, disconnecting. I'm not talking about walking away and giving yourself a timeout, which is constructive. I'm talking about when you shut down emotionally and you're kind of on autopilot. That's a protective measure. Number 4, fixing. There's something wrong with my child that needs to be fixed, or there's something wrong with me as a parent that I'm doing wrong. And we go into this fixing mode, which comes from an anxious place.
Is that a more gender-specific thing, you think? Men do it?
In parenting, no. You know, okay. I know within problem-solving, men are fixers, but with parenting, both moms and dads try to fix.
Okay, cool.
Number five, manipulating, using guilt to make them change their behavior, using bribing, any kind of manipulation.
I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm Jewish.
It's popular in a lot of cultures. Number 6, explaining or reasoning, which is very devious because this makes it feel like we're being grounded and centered because we're using logic. But if I'm trying to explain to you why you shouldn't be upset about what you're upset about, I'm protecting myself. And number 7 is judging. You're too old for this. This is ridiculous. Suck it up. All of that is judging. So the thing that all these things have in common is that all of these behaviors are designed to protect you from your feelings, and they're not helpful in guiding your child through their feelings. And if we can't tolerate our own feelings, how are we going to help them learn to regulate themselves?
All right. You know, it's interesting, and I want to get to the next list, but I have to say I disagree with a fundamental part of your thesis here, or I have a different feeling. I actually agree with just about everything on the list as being things to be conscious of and to avoid doing. Where I disagree is that they're all stemming from our own internal hurt or past. Sometimes we could be reasonably healthy and still employ those poor behaviors. So I'm not so sure that everything is rooted in some psychological problem of the past.
I mean, love when you disagree with me, because there's probably a lot of listeners at home saying, I don't know if I agree with that. But here's the thing. If we need to protect ourselves from what our child is spewing out, the tantrum, the misbehavior, if we need to do something to control it or explain it or fix it or manipulate it, there's something that it's triggering in us that we're having a hard time tolerating.
Well,
that's
okay.
The connection to the old wound.
I don't want to waste more time, but I'll just give an example where I disagree. If my child, and I can think of an incident where this happened, my son came home and lied to me, and I caught him in a lie. I'm angry that he lied to me. I don't think it's because I got lied to in the past by my parents. I'm just angry that my son was dishonest, period. I'll let you have the last word on that, but then let's go on to the rest of your list, because we don't have that much time.
How many minutes do we have? Because we can always do the next list in a different segment.
No, we can't. Let's do it quickly. We only have about 4 minutes left.
All right. So here's what I would say to your question. If we had enough time to talk about it, I'm sure we can find the connection.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
I'll agree to disagree with you. Now, your next list is a corollary, I assume, to the topic.
Yes. It's what to do when you get triggered.
Okay, good.
So, 5 steps. Step one. Notice you're getting triggered and greet it like an old friend. Do not fight it. What we resist persists. Mindfulness is not about not being angry. It's about having the emotion without feeling compelled to act upon it. So you just want to notice that it's happening. Step two is to take a deep breath. We often underestimate this step. We kind of think of it as like fruity or frou-frou or something. But if your fight or flight response is activated in your body is producing tons of neurotransmitters that send you into attack mode. You cannot be mindful with your child if you're in attack mode. So taking a deep breath counteracts those messages in your body.
May I add to that? I would say that the length of that deep breath varies per person. Sometimes that deep breath might be overnight.
You know, sometimes people just need 3. Sometimes they need 10, and you're right, sometimes they need longer. But this is a muscle, and if you practice over time, that duration will get shorter and shorter, I promise.
Okay, go on.
3 is identify the thought that you're now having about your child's behavior that's not working for you, right? So, he's such a brat, or she's just like my mother, or something's seriously wrong with him, or he's misbehaving because I'm a bad mom, or she's going to turn out like my alcoholic aunt. There's all these unhealthy thoughts that we're having in our mind.
Or, how did he or she get so spoiled? And we, of course, know the answer to that.
And so if you identify that thought, that's a really good step, because that's the thing that's actually getting you activated.
All right, that one I buy. Go on.
Step 4 is to give up the thought that's not serving you and replace it with something else. You want it to be authentic and inspiring. So it should feel legitimate to you, but should come from a place of love and compassion for yourself and your child. So, for example, I can handle this, or he's allowed to have his feelings, or I can teach him how to stay calm. Or if you're really competitive, you can be like, I can't wait to surprise him with how calm I can stay. Find something to say to yourself and repeat it in your mind like a mantra. And step 5 is to stay present. If you find yourself saying, don't cry, or trying to change it or make it stop, you're not present. Just stay present.
Okay. Very interesting. Well, I think there's incredible wisdom in everything you said. I do feel it's through the prism of, it's going to sound more negative than I mean it, what I sometimes call psychobabble. I do think it's a little bit of that, but I think the inherent bottom line is totally wise. I disagree with you, as I've already expressed, and we need to probably have that one out. Maybe we have a blog debate.
Ooh, I like it.
I've done that, by the way. It's really fun. You know, one of us starts off and throws it to the other, and we just do it back and forth, and then we both approve it. But this has been very, you know, you have so much material from our segments. You have a book's worth. Different chapters should be the things that we've talked about. And I want at least 5% royalty for giving you that idea.
I would give you total credit for that.
I would go totally to charity, just so we're clear. We are out of time, I think. Are we out of time? We are out of time. So tell our listeners where they can find you, please, Dr. Weberman.
First of all, yay, we fit it in. I'm so excited. All right. I can be found on theparentingplayground.com. On Facebook, where they're under the same name, and I post more often on Facebook than I do the blog. And on Twitter, it's dr_Weberman, and I'll be at Dad Chat tonight.
Wonderful. Thank you. And again, we are going to have a special show with both Dr. Weberman and her husband, Jason, who has his own specialty and expertise. So stay tuned. I'll give you announcements when that'll be. Stay tuned also after these remarks for my closing remarks.